Now it's time for Paul's in Politics with the Boston Herald's Dave Wedge on Monday Night Talk on 95.9 WATD.
Us on the phone line, whether it's for just a couple of minutes or maybe 10 or 15 minutes. We'll see what happens, but I believe the Boston Herald, Dave Wedge, is joining us. Dave, you there?
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
How's it going?
It's busy, very busy.
Yeah, you have been a busy hombre. I have to ask you, what has the past week been like for you?
It's just... This is when you just put aside your life completely and you just work. You know, that's at least that's my mentality, and that's what I did in 9/11, and that's what I'm doing now. It's just, you know, this is a matter of national security. Mm. It's a matter of public safety, and I just look at it like my job is to let people know to the best of my ability what's going on with every facet of the city and every bit of information that I can gather, and that's what I've been doing around the clock pretty much since 2:50 p.m. on Monday when these guys attacked America and attacked Boston.
Give me your thought. I mean, a guy who, you know, you have contributed and written stories all the past week. I mean, Friday I saw you in the thick of things out there, you know, taking pictures and being live on social, you know, being active on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the thoughts as to not only, you know, what we were looking at last Monday to, you know, the culmination of things late Friday night.
Well, you know, I was over there as soon as the bombs went off. I was on my way over there. I was coming from lunch, actually, like a lot of people. And I was actually diverted from the marathon scene over the JFK library because that whole thing unfolded at the same exact time. And still kind of unclear what happened there. It looks like it was just a fire. There was a coincidence, but at the time we were concerned that it may have been connected to the attacks. But so I went there for a while when it became clear that it was not, it didn't appear that it was connected.
Right.
I was diverted over to the marathon scene, and I was over there and I interviewed a lot of witnesses and that sort of stuff. And then the whole week I've just been, following the investigation and going to all the press conferences and following around Mayor Menino and police commissioner and stuff like that. And then Thursday night I worked late and I was, heading home. I worked until about 11 o'clock or so, and I was home. And I actually have a newborn baby right now, so I was with the baby and I was settling down, just watching this stuff about the MIT officer unfold. And again, in my head I'm thinking that it looks. I'm just thinking my instinct is like, I guarantee you this is related to it. Mm. But, we had nothing solid at that point, so I was hoping it wasn't. But as soon as it turned out that it looked like it was, and then the car chase unfolded, they launched me to Watertown, and I basically went over there at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I got over to the scene in Watertown just as that firefight was wrapping up. And, when I got there, it was just a completely chaotic scene with, people running everywhere, cops yelling, guns out, and reporters confused, people in the public confused, and there's a lot of fear and uncertainty. We're hearing about bombs and guns, and nobody really knew where the guys were, and, it just unfolded. So then I just stayed on the scene from about, 1 o'clock on, Friday morning, I guess it was, Friday morning until 4 o'clock that afternoon. I just stayed there straight through and stayed up through the night and went home on Friday for a couple hours at like 4 o'clock and then went back there about 6:37 just as they were about to grab the guy and just happened to be, get back there right when they caught him.
What is the latest that we've heard? What is the latest information other than having, the suspect being, he is, now going to be tried? It looks as though he's facing federal charges. Mm-hmm. What's the latest that you're working on right now?
Well, there's a search of the kid's dorm or apartment down in New Bedford, and there's, the affidavit has some information in it where apparently they seized some items from his apartment, possibly a hat like the one in the picture, possibly some ball bearings is what I'm hearing. And, you know, he's in the hospital still. He's at Beth Israel Hospital. He has been charged federally, as you mentioned. Myself today, I actually just came from Boylston Street, where there was a really powerful ceremony where the feds actually gave the mayor the flag that was flying at half staff outside the Boston Public Library ever since the bombings. They did the ceremonial folding of the flag and handed it to Mayor Menino in his wheelchair with just, you know, all his top command staff with him and all the police officers and the military and FBI and all that. And, you know, so I was down at the bomb site and, you know, get an up close look at some of the damage. And it's just, you know, it's just really, it's been an emotional day again, you know, and it's been an emotional week.
You are listening to 95.9 WATD, and you're listening to Monday Night Talk, and we're speaking, myself and Mr. Mark Rashto, who is quietly sitting here listening to Dave, and we're talking to Dave, who is one of the senior reporters and of the Boston Herald, and he's giving his details to what he's been working on since this all started last Monday at 2:50 p.m. What is the sense at this particular time in regards to this suspect? Does it end with these two, or do you have sources that are telling you that there may be other active members who radicalized these two and could be the root to this?
Well, certainly a wide open investigation, you know, and you know, they have these two folks in custody down in New Bedford. We haven't got a lot about them yet, but, you know, they're being held on immigration violations. They're apparently friends with the younger suspect just still in the hospital.
Were those the roommates, Dave?
I believe they, I don't know if they were roommates or if they're his friends. I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because again, guys, I'm out in the middle of all this, so I'm just reporting, and I kind of tunnel vision. So I actually, you guys probably might have more information than I do right now about exactly what's going on with the broader investigation. I haven't had any time to read much about it or watch much news. I'm just kind of going, gathering news all day and night, and then, you know, filing my stories at the end of the night. And, you know, I'm in the middle of the day. I'm just updating our own stories on the web and tweeting and all that stuff, tweeting information as I get it. So, you know, the best of my knowledge is they have two people in custody on immigration violations. You know, the police commissioner just told me a little while ago that it's a wide open investigation and that, you know, it doesn't end with these guys in answer to your question. Whether or not anyone else was directly involved in this particular plot, you know, that remains to be seen. You know, but the police are telling us that they feel confident they got the two people that perpetrated this attack.
So are you saying then that you feel as though that there are others possibly out there that may not have necessarily been involved in the attack, however they may have been associated? And
yeah, maybe supporting them somehow, or maybe, you know, maybe knew about it, maybe material witnesses.
Sure.
Maybe those other attacks planned that maybe these guys were working with. If you've been following this war on terror over the past, you know, 12 years, mm-hmm. you see a lot of cases where, you know, planned attacks have been thwarted, you know, and this could be a case where these guys pulled off what they did. Maybe there's other people that had other stuff planned, coordinated with this, or maybe you linked to it somehow that maybe has, you know, now they're aware of it or being made aware of it. So,
sure.
It's very, you know, it's certainly not over.
I heard a report today, I think it was on this station or maybe another, but regardless, they were talking
easy
about a previous a murder that, or a triple murder, I think it was, that happened in Waltham, maybe
in 2011.
Yeah, and they're looking at now possibly the older brother having
Tamerlan.
Yeah, I've read those reports, but, you know, the authorities that we talked to don't seem to think that, you know, there's much there. That's his mm-hmm. friend saying at that report, you know, that's his friend. His former friends, the older suspect, his former friends mm-hmm. are saying that, you know, they think he did it, you know, but I don't know what they're basing that on, and until I, you know, have some official tell us that, I'll be skeptical of that.
Of course. I have to ask, and that my girlfriend put me to task, wanted me to ask you a couple of different questions in regards to leading up to the gun battle in Watertown, where you had an MIT campus police officer, Sean Collier, get basically execute, you know, he got shot execution style by these two, supposedly. And I guess, you know, after that, there was, I guess, a report of an armed robbery. Was it really an armed robbery, or was it just the carjacking? Because that I'm
yeah. The information I have and what the officials are saying is that there was a robbery at the 7-Eleven, but they don't think it was these guys. They just happened to be there around the same time, and they killed. You know, they're charged with killing. Or they, it looks like they killed this MIT cop, and then they carjacked somebody. That's the chain of events according to the feds. And then they go on this wild chase that ends in Watertown.
Now they had carjacked somebody, kept the guy alive, and you know went and said, "All right, let's go to an ATM, get us some money." Mm-hmm. Why didn't they gun him down? What was it? That's
a great question, and that guy certainly got an angel on his shoulder. And you know, in the affidavit that was released today, the feds said that the guys. The two brothers told the guy in the car that they were the Marathon Bombers. So, you know, his name's obviously not in there, but that guy's got a hell of a story to tell.
And didn't he actually leave his cell phone in the car, too, after he got out or something like that?
I didn't see that report.
That they have said that. That's been one of the reports that is out there. No confirmation on that, though, so. Another thing I got to ask you is, are you guys asking any questions in regards to not originally reading him his Miranda rights? Is that something that's still in question that you're out there reporting on, or you're seeking answers to?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's been a lot made of that, but these federal prosecutors know what they're doing. I'm going to trust their judgment. I'm not going to question that. I mean, if they had to Mirandize him, they would. But now he's been charged, so now he's got a federal lawyer anyway. So I think it's kind of irrelevant, you know. And I think they comply with the law, and I don't think it'll be a problem if there is a trial. And I think, you know, they're doing whatever they have to do to get the information that they need out of the guy.
How does this compare? How does this pale in comparison? You were, you know, right out to New York after 9/11 took place. Looking at the two stories, how do they pale in comparison?
I mean, there's a lot of parallels. Obviously, New York was a much grander scale, but you know, those attacks happened and then they were over. This one, you know, we had just mayhem that extended. You know, two separate incidents. You know, we had the bombings and then the uncertainty that followed that, and then we had the crazy mayhem that went on Thursday night. So it was like two separate incidents that just, you know, totally shook us. And you know, we didn't know how many more bombs this guy had come Thursday night. And next thing you know, Friday, the entire city is locked down. So, you know, that was very similar to New York in that, you know, after the plane hit, you know, all of Lower Manhattan was closed. It was a ghost town, and you know, Boston was the same way. So that was eerie to be out there in that. For me personally, I was a little closer to this than I was. Well, I mean, I don't know. I was right in the middle of both of them, but I got to New York around 2 o'clock on 9/11. So I was down there around the time, you know, shortly after the second building had come down. So, you know, I was there with the ash and the crushed vehicles and all that. It was just, you know, a war zone. And with this here, I was in the middle of this whole search for this guy and all that. So, you know, personally, they're both just terrible, terrible events. And, you know, I wouldn't try to compare either one. But, you know, there's a lot of similarities in that scared a lot of people. A lot of people got hurt. A lot of people are traumatized in both situations. And it's too bad.
We know you got to run in a couple of moments. I got to ask you at least two more questions. And that is, you know, have you talked to any officials in thoughts as far as Tamlin Sarnoff, the older brother, you know, the one who was, you know, immersed in that gun battle? Is it possible that he was kind of the brains behind this and that the younger brother is just kind of, you know, he was the tag along? Are you feeling that, or is there a feeling that the two of them were equally involved in this?
Well, I mean, that's what everyone's trying to portray it as, and that's what everyone's speculating. But, you know, the bottom line is, from what I've seen and from what I've heard from the officials, they both were involved intimately. So I don't care if the guy was influenced by his older brother or not. It doesn't matter one bit to me. What matters is that he participated in the act. He's a willing participant. You see those pictures. He's walking around. He's standing on the corner. He's, you know, he's right in the middle of it, you know. And he, you know, if he wasn't involved, he could have stopped it at any time. His brother was there. He could have told somebody. And then, you know, he was involved in the gun battle, and he jumped in the car and drove away, and he was involved in the shooting of this cop, they're saying. So, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. I think the bottom line is that, you know, it's pretty clear that these guys were some sort of radical extremists, and they both took it to the extreme where they inflicted violence on innocent people.
Anything you want to say in closing in regards to this situation that you're covering right now?
No, I just, I think I'm, as was the case after 9/11, I'm just proud of the way Boston came together, just like New York did, and I have every confidence that, people will support these victims who there's going to be a lot of victims. I don't think people understand the extent of the injuries that went on here. This wasn't 180 people that, broke a finger or twisted an ankle. This is people that have third-degree burns from bombs and missing limbs and, major, major life-changing injuries. And I have no doubt that people will come together and support these victims and help these families to recover from this. And I just hope, the whole city, everyone, all the people in the business district down there that just witnessed it and all the people from all around the country that were at the marathon just watching this event, there's a lot of trauma in the city right now and we need to heal.
Did you witness after they had caught him and there was the pullout of all of that show of force by the authorities and law enforcement officers? Did you see the applause and did you get to witness any of that?
Yeah, I was there for all of that and it was overwhelming. It was very, very, very emotional, very powerful. It was just raw emotion and people cheering and happy and I tweeted out some pictures of it and it was. That's the good side of what happened. People were proud of the officers that put their lives on the line to get this guy. But it's not over. There's more work to be done. We got to get this Boylston Street back open let the healing begin.
Dave, we want to thank you for taking a few minutes out of your schedule, and we'll definitely talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Have a good one. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Dave. Boston Herald's Dave Wedge joining us, the man who was on the ground taking pictures. I would be curious to see what it would have been like to be right there, yards away from, whether it be, a group of officers, doing searches to where they finally realized that he was, somebody, in Watertown actually called the police going, hey, somebody crawled into my boat and there's blood on the side of it. I have a funny feeling. I'd be curious what it would be like to be within a few yards of that scenario.
I have a feeling that Dave has the full spectrum of the events emotions firsthand from those events that you just mentioned from beginning to end.
We're going to step aside when we come back. More Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.